WNST, Taos of Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are taking a little respite on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour here this week. It is a bye week around here, trying to give Luke some time off too, give the Crabs a little bit of rest. We'll be back on the Crab Cake Tour beginning the 18th. We'll be at Pappas next Friday up in Cockeysville. We're looking forward to that. All that brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Goodwill and Window Nation. And it will be two easy weeks and good mojo here in Baltimore, as even the Phillies didn't get to win the World Series. We feel okay about that around here. The 6-3 Ravens take to the bye weekend, and Luke Jones is here to talk all things after picking up the pieces of beating the Saints in a game where skill position players were at a premium, Luke. And I think that's going to be the issue here for a little while. We talk so much about the defense and Roquan Smith and the stoutness of the defense. Meanwhile, the offense, I don't know what you expect when Andrews isn't out there. I don't know what you expect when Rashad Bateman isn't out there. I don't know what you expect when Kenyon Drake is your lead back. But it worked, and they won kind of going away. And they're in a really, really nice position right now. I don't know about offensively, but if they get some of these bodies back, it's going to be nice.
Yeah, and I think the offense played well enough. You know, they were good enough on Monday night. And certainly you love the touchdown drive with that was capped by the Isaiah Likely touchdown reception, which was just a beautiful play call by Greg Roman and Lamar Jackson and Likely and the offensive line and everyone executed there. They moved the ball specifically on the ground. You know, they moved the ball pretty consistently, especially in the second half as they really got into their ground game and didn't throw the ball a whole lot. I think Lamar Jackson only completed two passes in the second half, and you know, they didn't really try to throw the ball a whole lot. So, you know, certainly
ever since I wrote the column this, that they need to run the ball, they've been running the ball, right? I mean, they are such a good running team when they want to be, that to come out and try or think they're going to throw the ball 35 or 40 times, especially without receivers, right? That's a different, but they're being forced to do what they do best, and they're doing it well.
Yeah, and look, I'm not gonna just acquiesce there. They need to throw the ball better than they have been. But as it pertains to what they did Monday night, and as you just said, no Mark Andrews, and you know, you're still figuring out Rashad Bateman, and you know, Deshaun Jackson played sparingly, and you know, left the game with a hamstring issue. You know, whether it's minor or not, that's the reality of leaning on a speedy 35-year-old who's well past his prime and had injury issues years ago. You know, DeMarcus Robinson was banged up, although certainly, you know, he had an opportunity, should have caught a touchdown, and Lamar Jackson missed him. So, you know, they're figuring that out, and that's okay, by the way. You know, let's be very clear about that. It's not as though the offense needs to be this perfect finished product, especially when you talk about all of the injuries that they've had at the skill position spots, you know, wide receiver, tight end, and running back for that matter. But I think what's encouraging is Monday night was a great reminder of, we always talk about Lamar Jackson in terms of passing and his ceiling there, and you know what he did in 2019, leading the league in touchdown passes. But Monday was a great reminder of just how high the floor is, even on a night where he missed some throws. And you could even hear him, not just in his post-game press conference with the media in New Orleans, but talking to ESPN just as the game ended. He was ticked that he missed those throws, you know, missed that touchdown to DeMarcus Robinson. So there's never that sense of him being satisfied with how he plays. He missed some throws. And, yeah, you look at the collection of pass catchers right now, and it makes you uneasy. But at the same time, they still scored 27 points. Granted, you know, seven were, you know, set up. That was set up nicely by the defense on a takeaway, but they still moved the ball. They still controlled the clock. Time of possession was a major advantage for them. And I think it really allowed the defense to continue to pin its ears back, getting after Andy Dalton. But you know, they got the job done. And that's something that you should feel really good about. And Lamar Jackson, we say it all the time, and you and I argue about it all the time. Monday was a great example of, why would you ever want to take away him running the football? Because it's truly what makes him special. Even on a night where he was not as sharp as he'd like to be throwing the football, and not as sharp as we've seen him be plenty of times, regardless of where people want to rank him as a passer as it pertains to other quarterbacks. But Monday was a great example of just how darn high the floor is for Lamar Jackson on a given night, where you can look at the final stats and say, well, you know, he only He only threw for 133 yards, and he only completed 12 of 22 passes. But anyone who watched the game, you know, yeah, Lamar Jackson.
Why are you going to give him all that money? He only threw 12. He only completed 12 passes. What kind of quarterback is he? And it's a different standard you judge him from. It really is.
It is, because he's a different player. I mean, he truly. I know it's cliche, and there are times where certainly there are things to criticize or things that he does need to get better. And yeah, he does. He needs to be more accurate with the football. I mean, he missed some a handful of throws. And when you're talking about only throwing 22 times and you miss a handful, that's a high percentage, right? But he threw for, or he ran for 82 yards, and his legs continue to be the difference. And Kenyon Drake said it after the game. I mean, Kenyon Drake doesn't rush for 93 yards if Lamar Jackson's not his quarterback. And that's what we continue to say about this running game. Just the mere presence of Lamar, whether he is running or not, makes their running game so much better. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this, because we talk so much about Lamar Jackson. We talk so much about wide receiver, or, you know, no Mark Andrews, no Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins is on IR. But you Rashad Bateman, you go through the names that weren't out there, or the names that are out there, and you're wondering if it's good enough at the skill positions. But then you look at the offensive line. And this is a group that continues to play better and better and better. And, you know, Ronnie Stanley is looking every week much like Ronnie Stanley pre-ankle injury. And I think that's remarkable. And we probably haven't given enough oxygen to that, you know, and how much
credit
he
deserves there. Well, I would
say
the first couple
there.
Weeks of the year, he was still looking like he's not out there, he's not doing it. Even if he does it, how well will he do it? He's going to try to play, and we're like, fine. And again, it's much like DeSean Jackson and saying, well, he's out there until his hamstring goes. I don't know that's the case with Ronnie Stanley. It certainly doesn't feel that way. It feels like he gave himself enough time. And I know it was sort of trite when Harbaugh was saying he'll be ready when he's ready.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, he's making a lot of money. Is he going to be ready or not? He looks like part of the team. Looks like he never left to some degree, right? Well, relationship wise, on the sideline, leadership wise, he's back for now, right?
No question about it. And I mean, you mentioned the leadership piece. You know, we have to mention this. I mean, that fourth quarter drive where delay a game, slow snap in the ball, you have to use a timeout. If you notice, I mean, Lamar Jackson got heated there. And by the way, I don't mind that. I, you know, hey, how many times have we seen Tom Brady go nuts? And I'm not saying you should be breaking tablets on the sideline, but the point is you see fire from franchise quarterbacks. And in that case, it was Ronnie Stanley, and they were fine after the fact. I mean, you saw them, you know, they were standing next to each other on the sideline, and there was no issue. So I don't think it was drama as much as just heat of the moment, but that's a great example of what you just mentioned. Ronnie Stanley was right there being the one to, you know, whatever the interaction there, whether it was just calm down or whether it was, hey, you're yelling at the wrong guy or whatever, he was right in the middle of that. And that, again, speaks to what you just said, that Ronnie Stanley's back. And
well, Ronnie Stanley's a really calm cat, right? Like, in general, for Ronnie Stanley to be raising his voice, is a little, you know, he's been here a while. He's here before Lamar.
Well, and Lamar, for the most part, is a very, you know, laid back kind of guy, but in the heat of the moment at that time where, you know, you're forced to burn a timeout and you're not snapping the ball quickly enough and you have to take a delay of game. And let's face it, that kind of torpedoed a drive that could have been a touchdown that really put the game away. And instead they settle for a field goal, which, you know, in the big picture, not the end of the world, but certainly things you want to clean up. And we've talked about it with tempo for this team and things of that nature. But in that moment, it was Ronnie Stanley talking to Lamar Jackson. And it's, as you said, even going back to week three or week four, it's not something you were taking for granted, even at that point, knowing one, we knew he's going to get back on the field at that point, but what's going to look like? Is he going to stay on the field? Is he anything close to the guy that the Ravens gave $100 million contract to 2 years ago? And the answer to all those questions to this point has been a resounding yes. I mean, he looks, I don't know, want to say he's 100% all the way back, but he's really close. I mean, he's playing at a high level, and, you know, Pro Football Focus is grading, and all the different metrics that you would look to evaluate say he's really playing at a high level. So you have him. I think Morgan Moses has played some of his best football the last couple of weeks. You know, a guy we haven't mentioned much other than just in not so flattering terms. I think Ben Powers has quietly played, had a really nice season at left guard, which, you know, we talked so much about that competition or lack thereof over the summer. And you have Linderbaum, who, you know, he has his ups and downs here and there, but for the most part, I think you have to be really pleased with how he's looked as a rookie, you know, a first-round center. And you still have Kevin Zeitler at right guard. So, you know, as much as we're talking about skill players in the passing game and, you know, Lamar being, you know, missing some throws here or there, not having Mark Andrews, what are you going to do without Rashad Bateman on the outside? This offensive line's playing at a really high level. And when they are playing at a high level and you're running the ball the way that the Ravens were able to get into their running game in the second half especially, it does become much more difficult to beat this football team. So, again, just like we talked about with the defense, want to keep guys healthy, you got to keep it going. And in the case of the offense, need to get some of these guys back, which I think they will over the bye week. You know, they'll get Edwards back. They'll get Mark Andrews back. We'll see what J.K. Dobbins looks like in a few weeks when he gets back on the practice field. Again, expectations can't be high there, but doesn't mean you write them off entirely either. But in the meantime,
we wrote Ronnie Stanley off.
Exactly. Exactly. So in the meantime, though, Kenyon Drake has done a really nice job. And, you know, it wasn't a major development, but I love seeing Lamar Jackson throw to him a couple times out of the backfield. That looks smooth. And that's another element for this offense that, you know, we haven't necessarily seen a whole lot of the last couple of years. So, you know, there's a lot to like. And, you know, it wasn't a complete performance by the offense. And, you know, you kind of look at it and again, 133 passing yards. And, you know, I did have to laugh where Lamar Jackson, I guess it was credited that he was sacked three times. And he actually took some issue with that in the post game. He said, look, you shouldn't be crediting the O-line with giving up a sack when I scramble and get back to the line of scrimmage, which he has a point there. So not really the traditional sacks in the way that you would think about them. But, you know, there were still plenty to like. And, you know, even though the numbers were modest, you know, you saw James Prochet make a couple catches. You know, you saw Josh Oliver with a 19-yard completion, you know, to move the chains. I mentioned Drake. You know, I mean, DeMarcus Robinson was in position to catch a touchdown. So it's not what the Bills have. It's not what the Chiefs have right now from a passing game standpoint. You know, it's certainly not what Miami has, which, I mean, the Dolphins have just been, you know, you question it if they can stop people, but certainly people haven't been able to stop them when Tua has been upright and healthy and throwing to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. But the Ravens they play a different brand of football, and there's a lot to like about this football team. Still, there's still things they need to clean up. There's no question about that, which the bye week will be a big part of that. But we mentioned it in a previous segment. I mean, you just look at the coming out of the bye, that schedule sets up for them to really get on a roll, and hey, they got to go out and take care of business. But it really does set up for them to get healthy and continue to get better just a little bit every week, and, you know, put themselves in position to, you know, win this division, get into the playoffs, but not just that, but also see where the chips fall in terms of playoff positioning and seeding and all that. So, you know, you have to like where this team is, even acknowledging, yeah, there are still things that they can clean up and get better. There's no question about that. And Lamar Jackson said as much in the post-game press conference.
The Mark Andrews injury, let's talk a little bit about that, because getting him back, that's crucial.
Yeah.
For in every way. I had JT the Brick had me on his show, on a serious show after the game, and was asking about sort of the lineage of tight ends, and said, well, you know, why does Harbaugh love tight ends? And I'm like, well, this organization, going back to Shannon Sharp, I was watching the Baltimore Bullies of ESPN that's going to be out in February. You think about these tight ends. Andrews being the key guy in all of this, they missed him on Monday night. I don't think there's any doubt about that. When you're talking about Lamar having a lighter night, he didn't have his binky.
Yeah. I mean, and look, let's be very clear about this. It's the same when Patrick Mahomes doesn't have Travis Kelce. It's the same when think back to, we talked about this last week, Tom Brady missing Rob Gronkowski, or at least what Rob Gronkowski used to be for him, not just in Tampa Bay, but going, of course, all the years back in New England. And in the case of, you know, you mentioned the organization and their affinity for tight ends. And look, I mean, when you have a Hall of Fame tight end who ran the football side for as many years as Ozzie Newsome did, yeah, I think you're probably going to have a little bit of a bias there. But that's not even a bad thing, you know, to be clear. But let's face it, Lamar Jackson loves throwing the tight ends as well. You look at Monday night's game, Isaiah Likely, even though he only had the touchdown catch, he had a team high five targets. So you miss of course you're going to miss someone who's one of the two best at his position in the NFL, and that's where Mark Andrews is at this point. I think back to a couple years ago when, yeah, the perception was it was Travis Kelce and George Kittle kind of in that top tier. Well, I think Andrews has replaced Kittle at this point, and did last year, quite frankly, by that point in time, with Kittle having some of the injuries and Andrews just being as damn good as he is. So, yeah, you're going to miss a guy like that, especially in a passing game that is not high volume, like the Ravens tend to be, I guess, first half of the Tampa Bay game notwithstanding. So you need to get him back. It's the shoulder injury. John Harbaugh said it at the start of last week that it wasn't, quote, a major injury, which tells you that it's not a completely minor injury either, which is why he missed Monday night's game, didn't travel with the team to New Orleans, in fact. But no question. And to be clear, that doesn't mean that he won't be fine, but I think it was very wise and to me a no-brainer. I don't even know if you credit the Ravens for being smart as much as they're not dumb in saying that, we have the bye week coming up. This was an NFC game anyway. Even if the Ravens had lost, it doesn't have colossal playoff implications from a tiebreaker standpoint. So, yeah, you were always going to rest up Mark Andrews and try to get him right, because remember, he was also dealing with the knee, which was hindering him quite a bit as well. He had only practiced once in those 2 weeks leading up to the Tampa Bay game. So he needs to get right. The bye week's going to be crucial there. But I haven't gotten any indication that it's something that's a major injury. As John Harbaugh, used the same language that John did. But get him right, and hopefully have him back soon after the bye week. And hopefully that knee is not as cranky as it had been. And you get him for the second half of the season. You'll sacrifice Mark Andrews, his presence for one night, if it means you can get him back out there and healthy for the entire second half of the season. So, Gus Edwards, minor hamstring issue. So he'll be fine, coming out of the bye week. I don't see any reason why he wouldn't be ready to go against Carolina. Maybe Andrews is a little more of a question, without knowing how the next couple weeks go. But, J.K. Dobbins, one more game on IR for him. We'll see how long it takes him to ramp up. Again, I don't know what the expectations will be for him at this point. I think you got to be realistic, but wide receiver, we'll see. I mean, we saw a very brief glimpse of DeSean Jackson before his hamstring tightened up, which it's kind of that's DeSean Jackson. That's been DeSean Jackson for the last 6-7 years. I mean, availability has been a major issue for him.
I always disliked him as a player. I said when he walked on the field, I said to my wife, I'm like, I always hated that guy. I always like rooting against that guy, whether he was a Redskin, an Eagle, whatever he was, 35 years old. Dennis and I got into it the day they signed him 2 weeks ago. And I said, Dennis, how many balls is he going to catch the next 2 weeks before the bye? Is he going to play or is he not? Like, is this a factor or is it not? And I put the over under 3, and Dennis took the under, and Dennis won the bet. So for all that we talk about these, even if JPP, right, you talk about him, I think these guys that were out of the game that come back into the game, there's just a different level of what you expect out of them, but the hype that comes with it. Oh, we signed whomever. Roquan Smith's there. He's a real guy. That's an acquisition. Picking up guys that weren't playing, we're doing podcasts 2 weeks ago. I never have high expectations for those guys. And that includes Odell Beckham, anybody that wants to come back. You come back in the middle of the season, my expectations are low.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. And anyone who had high expectations for DeSean Jackson, and let's be clear, I'm not sealing his fate here either. I mean, a hamstring issue, if he comes back out of the bye week, he'd be fine and plays, and we'll see what happens. But you consider the investment. He was signed to the practice squad, right? I mean, it's not as though they gave him real money, anything like that. Jason Pierre-Paul, they gave him some incentives, things of that nature, but was not a very high base salary.
It's not even about money. It's just about, like, are they going to get on the field? Are they going to make a play? Are they going to make an impact? And in the case of DeSean Jackson, he might catch a 72-yard touchdown pass against the Browns 3 weeks from now, right? Like, that's definitely possible. But whether there's going to be a real contribution on a week-to-week basis, I'm not expecting that.
Yeah, I think that's completely fair. I mean, and I think to a man, Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh would probably say the same thing. And they'd say, hey, look, he's 35 and he's injury prone. And we know that. We signed him to the practice squad. He's not making any real money. If he can instill a lesson or two in some of our younger guys, because, despite what you said about not rooting for him, he's still a three-time Pro Bowl wide receiver, still some cachet. I think, 5,000-yard seasons in his career. I mean, this guy could really play.
I know. It was fun rooting against him. I love
Sure. But the point is, they would say, you know what, if it comes down to it and we're in, you know, for whatever reason, we wake up on the wrong side of the bed in Jacksonville at the end of the month and we're in a tighter game than we anticipate. If he catches a 47-yard touchdown in that game and then later in the game blows out a tire and he's done, well, he helped us win a football game. And that right there would justify the return. You know, that'd be a justified return on the investment. So, hey, beggars can't be choosers when the Ravens proceed the way they do at wide receiver. You know, it's a flawed approach. I'll continue to say that. But they also aren't
what,
built.
What is
like
flawed
typical...
about it? They pick ones that don't work out. What you give me the flawed approach.
Well, the flaw was you traded Marquise Brown and you didn't replace him. Is it that hard to, you know? I mean,
well, I think they would think Bateman was the replacement, but okay.
Rashad Bateman was already on the team. Okay. This is like Orioles fans who said, well, we traded Jorge Lopez because Felix Bautista will be the closer. Well, he was already on the team. You know, I mean, you don't when you do this, you don't clone a guy. I remember people saying that about Dennis Pitta will be the new Anquan Boldin. No, Dennis Pitta was already Dennis Pitta. He can't be two guys. So, you know, it's fine. You know, it's okay to criticize one element of the
football team. I'm just saying they're trying to address the wide. Look, believe me, I'm not going to defend Eric DaCosta ever on anything, right, on integrity or anything below that. Believe me, where I am, I'm just saying they can't do more than spend number one draft picks on wide receivers. And
but they traded one of them.
Because they didn't want to give him $18 million.
Okay, but you still have to replace the player. I don't want to get too. It's a
I just
approach.
Don't think they want to throw the ball enough to have wide receivers be.
Well, then
the
why draft two
in
3 years? Why waste two first round picks in 3 years on them then? If that's truly the case,
I don't think they would have a $20 million wide receiver in their salary cap in this environment. And I think that was part of the Marquise Brown situation.
No, I understand that, but you just said that you don't think they really want to throw the ball to wide receivers that much. That's fine. Then why waste draft picks on them then? Then just draft something else then. Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying it's my opinion. There's a long history that supports my opinion. It's a flawed approach, but that one area that I don't like about how they handle themselves, there are plenty of other areas that they do outstanding work. It's a model organization, all of that. So again, I don't want to get too far off topic with that, because that's something
we
can talk about anytime.
But after they throw the ball 20 times in a game again and they win and we're happy that they win, we keep 3 years ago was, well, we need to throw more. We need to throw better. We need to have more wide receivers, all of that. And I don't know that's who they're ever going to be, that they need to have more than they have with Mark Andrews and a first round draft pick who's not on the field again, but they do commit draft capital to wide receivers. I guess that's my thought on it. Is they have?
Well,
I
never said that. My position is they do just enough to get by at the position.
Fair enough.
There was we talked about this in August, Nestor. We said, what's going to happen if Rashad Bateman goes down? Well, Rashad Bateman went down. So again,
well, then they're going to need James Prochet to step up and Devin Duvernay to step up. And yeah, and here we are, right? So those guys are what they are, despite what they look like in the preseason.
Well, and again, I don't want to take I didn't really intend to get this far into this aspect of the discussion, you know, on the heels of what was a really good win. And, you know, they ran the ball and all those things. I mean, the question will continue to be. How this style of play translates to January. And we can't answer that right now, but we've seen how that's looked to this point with them venturing into January. And I don't even count Lamar's rookie year, but 2019 and 2020, and we've seen how it's wound up. So that's where that question will continue to be there. It's of my opinion is they still need more at that position, but
no, and you might be right on January 20th when they're eliminated.
Sure.
Because
I might be completely wrong. And I might be completely wrong, too. And if I am, then I'll say, you know what? Trade Rashad Bateman, too, and just have tight ends. You know, all you need is wide receiver, you know, street free agents and wide receiver. Then. And, of course, I'm being a little facetious. And, yeah, you know, look, one thing I will say in Monday night's game, you know, where's Devin Duvernay? I mean, I have to ask that question. I mean, he had one target, one touch. I mean, And again, I don't want to complain too much about a game that they went out and they handled their business and they won pretty comfortably. And the defense was the star, but it's not as though the offense was just along for the ride. They ran the ball and, you know, they made plays when they needed to, and they were really efficient on third down. So again, I don't want to make this sound like I'm being over the top negative, because I don't feel that way about this game whatsoever. It's more my big picture concern, but I would like to know why they're not getting Devin Duvernay consistently involved in a game like that. And it might just be, hey, have them run the ball out of the backfield a couple times and things of that nature. So that was curious. You know, there's no question about that. If you had told me before the game that the Ravens win by two touchdowns and Devin Duvernay touches the ball one time, then kind of scratching my head. I'm not going to lie about that, but you know, we'll see how this plays out. And again,
I always say they don't want to throw the ball. You know, I've been saying that for 5 years. They don't really want to throw the ball once they run well. Once they need to throw the ball because they're behind, then whether they can do it or not, they probably can't.
Well,
to your point, they probably can't.
Well, if that's the case, then I'm not optimistic about January, because they're going to have to throw the ball at times. I mean, that's inevitable, because you're going to go up, you know, when you go into January, you've got these super specific game plans where teams are really scouting the heck out of you. And in many cases, they've seen you. You know, keep in mind, these NFC teams, you know, the Saints, they saw Lamar Jackson. Okay, they saw him. You know, I think they've seen him in the preseason, and they saw him for five plays when Joe Flacco was a starter in 2018. You know, Tampa Bay saw Lamar as a rookie. I mean, you know, these NFC teams especially, these teams, we talk about it all the time. And I'm glad we're on this, because I mentioned the high floor that Lamar Jackson brings, even when he's not sharp throwing the football. But these teams that don't see him on any kind of a regular basis, you know, these NFC teams specifically, boy, they're at a disadvantage, because you can prepare and you can have whatever speedy wide receiver you have on your practice squad, or running back, or whoever.
Well, they have their own running back and quarterback and Taysom Hill, right?
Yeah, but Taysom Hill doesn't run anywhere close to what Lamar Jackson does from an athletic standpoint. So, you know, it really is a case of these teams. I always think back to the 2000 Ravens, and wasn't it Brian Billick who said before the Super Bowl, they have no idea how fast we are. You know, right. I've said that about the Giants. By the way, did you see the trailer for the 30 for 30? Can't wait. You know, coming out in February for ESPN.
Well, I was at the event that night, so you saw all the highlights from Goose, and they're all wearing the same clothes. They were mic'd up all day. So it's going to be fascinating, especially now that we've lost Goose, like how it kind of all comes together and how that's portrayed.
No doubt. But to get back to the point I was making about Lamar, you know, he's that same factor for teams that haven't played him or play him ever so rarely. You don't know how fast he is. You can see it on tape. We all see the highlights, but until you're out there and the bullets are flying, I know this even from talking to Ravens defensive players just practicing against him. It's just like, this guy's just at a different level. And I think for those teams that don't see him regularly, boy, it just makes it so much more difficult. Teams who have seen him multiple times, you know, not to say they stop him, but they probably have a bigger tool bag of you know, trying to figure out, you know, of ways to slow things down a little bit, to contain him in this offense a little bit more. So, but hey, Ravens going into the bye week, they're 6-3. What a difference 3 weeks makes, thinking about the aftermath of that Giants loss. And, you know, they'll get some guys back over bye week, and they'll continue to go to work and try to get better. We're seeing major progress on the defensive side, and the offense, despite some of the absences they've had, and despite me, you know, complaining about wide receiver, and I get it. I'm a broken record. That's fine. People can complain. But that aside, they got the job done Monday night, and they deserve a lot of credit for that. And there is lots to like about this offense, even if the passing game remains a work in progress.
Probably not good to tackle Lamar by the head or the shoulders either. A couple guys tried that. I mean, sacks that should have been sacks where he evaporates. Luke and I will continue our conversation. It is bye week around here. We had a great, great day at Drug City on Friday on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Goodwill, as well as our friends at Window Nation. A little bye week this week. We're back at Pappas next week on the 18th. We will have some big guests there, probably some pumpkin pie as well. I am Nestor. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.